Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
The Windy City Queercast, show number 572. I'm Amy Matheny, and brrr. Seriously, May? What's going on? Seriously, May in Chicago, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Well, I know what May means to me. It means that Mitchell Fain is very soon to be back home and stateside and in the nook and hopefully on the couch with me recording a podcast. And I can't wait to hear about his exploits. Being funny man, being sexy man of the world, Mitchell Fain. So Mitchell will be on the show here with me very, very soon. But I hope that all of you are getting a little bit of spring fever. I mean, the bulbs are bursting and things are starting to possibly bloom, but I just want the chill to go away, folks. I'm cold. I don't like being cold. I'm tired of being cold anymore. I'm having a great time with my show Cicada at the Greenhouse Theater, and I hope you guys, you've got about three more weeks to come out and see us. And a little special tip that if you use the code FLYER, F-L-Y-E-R, you can get a $25 ticket to any show while tickets last. So you can do that online, over the phone, or directly at the box office. So come see me in Cicada, guys. I'm really, really proud of this play, and I would love your support. And we don't have subscribers, so it's just friends like you that fill our seats and listeners like you. So you know who you are. You know you listeners that... give us feedback and comment and everything. Love to see you. Love for you to come out and see the show. Use that code FLYER, any show. Also, you can check out Hot Ticks and Gold Star because we have cheap tickets there while they last. So, and that's also for all the shows. More information at cicadatheplay.com. Today, I don't know. When we think a little chilly and a little gray, do we think Seattle? Well, perhaps that's a misconception, or perhaps there's some truth to that, but there's a whole lot more truth as well. I'm talking about Seattle as a great destination, possibly for your next trip, and I'm very excited to be talking with an award-winning journalist today and a member of the National Gay and Lesbian Journalists Association about Seattle and what it has in store for its GLBT traveler. I'm very excited. I've never been to Seattle. I've been to Oregon, but never Seattle. And I've been to Vancouver, so I've been around Seattle, but not in Seattle. So Seattle may be one of my next trips, and I'm excited to find out more and more about what makes that city unique. And also, lots going on in GLBT news and theater, so stay with me. You might have to put on a sweater still, I'm sorry, and some fuzzy socks, but stay with me. We're going to Seattle on the Queercast.
See the Joffrey Ballet's highly anticipated U.S. premiere of Christoph Pastor's Romeo and Juliet, a contemporary retelling of Shakespeare's timeless masterpiece. Set in Italy against a striking multimedia backdrop, this iconic tale of love and loss unfolds to Sergei Prokofiev's dramatic score. Dance Europe says this is entirely unlike any other version. Bravura dancing, touching lyricism, and epic storytelling unite in the Joffrey Ballet's U.S. premiere of Romeo and Juliet. 2 weeks only, April 30th through May 11th, at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. Tickets start at just $31. Order yours today. Call 800-982-2787 or visit joffrey.org.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick has signed a bill designed to build on the state's 2010 anti-bullying law by strengthening protections for LGBT students as well as students with disabilities. The 2010 law was designed to crack down on bullying and cyberbullying, in addition to requiring schools to establish any anti-bullying programs.
U.S. District Judge James Boasberg dismissed discrimination claims from the chief diversity officer of Gallaudet University, who was demoted after she signed an anti-gay marriage petition. Angela McCaskill sued the College for the Deaf, her co-worker Martina Bienvenu, and Bienvenu's partner Kendra Smith, alleging defamation, negligent hiring, and discrimination. Boasberg dismissed McCaskill's complaint in its entirety for failure to state a claim.
The Navy announced that it had relieved Captain Gregory McWhirter, a two-time commander of the Blue Angels, of duty for alleged misconduct. An internal military document has shown that there was an environment rife with sexually explicit speech, the open display of pornography, and jokes about sexual orientation.
In Georgia, Lambda Legal filed a lawsuit in federal court seeking to overturn the state's ban on same-sex marriage. The suit seeks to vacate the voter-approved constitutional amendment passed in 2004 that bans marriage equality in Georgia. The Georgia lawsuit leaves only four states with bans on gay marriage that remain unchallenged: Alaska, Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota.
A 74-year-old Boise, Idaho woman wants to overturn a constitutional amendment that says the state doesn't recognize same-sex marriage after learning the Idaho State Veterans Cemetery won't allow her to be buried with her partner's ashes. Madeline Taylor served in the United States Navy for 6 years. She said after her spouse, Gene Mixner, died in 2012, she went to the Veterans Cemetery to make arrangements for them to be buried together. But cemetery rules require a valid marriage certificate, and Idaho does not recognize their 2008 marriage in California.
Alaska's Supreme Court has ruled that same-sex couples throughout the state must receive certain property tax exemptions given to married couples, despite a ban on gay marriage. The state had prevented gay and lesbian couples from taking advantage of a tax break for senior citizens and disabled veterans that, in some circumstances, takes into account marital status. In 1998, Alaska voters amended the state's constitution to restrict marriage to between a man and a woman.
A longtime staple in the Philadelphia LGBT community is closing its doors. The country's oldest LGBT bookstore, Giovanni's Room, will close May 17th. Ed Hermance has owned the store for 38 years.
A group of clergy in North Carolina filed a federal lawsuit seeking to overturn the state's ban on same-sex marriage. The lawsuit, which the United Church of Christ filed, argues the ban violates the First and Fourteenth Amendments and stigmatizes same-sex couples and the people and institutions that would support them.
In world news, a California activist and business owner literally has taken LGBT pride to new heights. Neil Gottlieb, the founder and owner of Three Twins Ice Cream, planted a rainbow flag atop Uganda's highest peak to protest the African country's recent passage of the Anti-Homosexuality Act. Gottlieb, a former Peace Corps volunteer and graduate of Cornell University, published the photo of his prideful summit on Facebook and shared a copy of the letter he sent to the Ugandan president that detailed the feat.
In Canada, Quebec's government has for the first time allowed a gay male couple to claim expenses toward having a child through surrogacy. The case is being considered precedent-setting and saw that the gay couple claim back the costs through the province's health insurance board. The couple's twins are due in July by a surrogate who was pregnant through in vitro.
An Italian court has ordered a town to recognize the marriage of a gay couple who were wed in the United States, a move that advocates of gay marriage, which is not allowed in Italy, hailed as a first step toward legality. The court in the Tuscan city of Grosseto said that the town hall had to transcribe the marriage into its records, giving the two men the same rights as heterosexual married couples. The couple married in New York in 2012 and sued Grosseto City Hall after an official there refused to transcribe the marriage into its registers.
Alberta Justice Brian Burrows has ruled that a provincial law requiring transgender individuals to undergo gender reassignment surgery before they can change their birth certificates is unconstitutional and can no longer be enforced. He said the law, as it stands, contributes to the prejudice.
Ethiopia's government recently canceled a planned anti-gay rally. In addition, a plan by the legislature to add gay sex to a list of crimes ineligible for presidential pardons has been dropped. In Ethiopia, same-sex acts are punishable by up to 15 years in prison, and a 15-year jail term is given to anyone convicted of infecting another person with HIV during same-sex acts.
Japan's First Lady joined the festivities of Tokyo's LGBT Pride Parade. The conservative Prime Minister's wife stood on a float amid a sea of 3,000 participants marching through the Shibuya district. Japan's First Lady, who openly fights for gender equality, said she was particularly drawn to participate through her work related to HIV.
In entertainment news, Neon Trees lead singer Tyler Green recently talked about the reaction he got after he came out of the closet last month. "I was surprised at how many Mormon church leaders wrote me messages saying, 'This is great that you're doing this,'" Glenn, who was 30, said. "That really was cool." Glenn said he is looking forward to speaking up about gay acceptance in his religious culture and assisting young adults who face some of the hardships that he experienced.
A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder led this year's Tony nominations with 10, followed by Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which stars Neil Patrick Harris. Best Play nominees include Act One, All the Way, Casa Valentina, which Harvey Fierstein wrote, Mothers and Sons, and Outside Mullinger. Best Musical nominees are After Midnight, Aladdin, Beautiful, the Carole King musical, and A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. The Tonys air June 8th on CBS.
Iconic sketch comedy group Kids in the Hall will bring its new live tour, Rusty and Ready, to five U.S. cities in June of 2014. The cities are Boston on June 6th, Washington, D.C. on the 7th, Philadelphia on the 8th, Chicago on June 13th, and Detroit on the 14th. The all-new Rusty and Ready is the first tour for Kids in the Hall since 2008, and we'll see the return of fan favorites like Chicken Lady and Buddy Cole from the long-running HBO TV series, along with new skits.
Dan Hasseltine, the lead singer of the popular Christian band Jars of Clay, recently voiced his support for marriage equality. He also engaged with his followers in a discussion about the biblical interpretation of marriage, and he noted that he's unable to understand conservatives who use scripture to deny same-sex couples equal rights.
Gay actor Maulik Pancholi of 30 Rock fame was named to President Obama's Advisory Commission on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. Pancholi is active with a number of nonprofit and social policy organizations, such as Asian Americans Advancing Justice, the New York City Anti-Violence Project, and the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission.
Grammy Award-winning country music artist Kacey Musgraves will perform at the 25th Annual GLAAD Media Awards in New York on May 3rd at the Waldorf Astoria. Musgraves, the first country music artist to play at the New York GLAAD Media Awards, will perform her hit song Follow Your Arrow. Openly lesbian country music artist Shelley Wright will introduce Musgraves.
And openly gay professional basketball player Jason Collins is among President Obama's latest round of key administration appointees. Collins, who came out last year, currently plays with the Brooklyn Nets and has played with the Memphis Grizzlies and the New Jersey Nets. In addition, Collins received another honor recently when Time magazine listed him among its most 100 most influential people. Chelsea Clinton, who knew Collins at Stanford University, wrote the column. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, everybody. This is Cherry Jones, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. a dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 5th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Route 66 Theater Company transports you to rural Mississippi in the Jeff-nominated world premiere, Cicada, by openly gay playwright Jerry Dye. 3.5 out of 4 stars, says Chicago Stage Review. Highly recommended by the Chicago Reader. Authentic, says the Tribune. Don't miss Cicada. Poignant, relevant, and stirring, says Windy City Times. Cicada is playing now at the Greenhouse Theater Center. For tickets, visit cicadatheplay.com.
Hit the Walls, the smash hit playing now for a limited engagement at the Greenhouse Theater. In this recount of the 1969 Stonewall Riots, meet 10 unlikely revolutionaries who jumpstart the modern gay rights movement. Don't miss the show, the Tribune says. Feels like a scene, a party, a kind of interactive historical happening with a punch. Buy tickets at greenhousetheater.org.
Do not miss Porchlight Music Theaters, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. At Stage 773, the Chicago Tribune raves, Porchlight overachieves in How to Succeed, and the Sun-Times highly recommended review says it's a rip-roaring revival of the show. Great, goofy fun. For tickets to How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, go to porchlightmusictheater.org.
Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche, the hilarious cult hit comedy, asks all attendees of its 1956 church basement quiche breakfast to always respect the egg. Don't miss the play that won Best Overall Production at the New York Fringe Festival, playing now at the Chopin Theater. Buy tickets at 5lesbianseatingaquiche.com.
Check out Dorian from the House Theater of Chicago. It's new, it's sexy, it's queer, and it's only here through May 18th. Oscar Wilde's story is transformed into a totally modern dance-fueled production, and it's a Windy City Critics pick this week. Get more info at thehousetheater.com.
The Dance of Death tells the delicious, venomous story of a crumbling marriage laced with black comedy and biting humor. Amplified by the voice of celebrated Irish playwright Connor McPherson and featuring an all-star cast, Shannon Cochran, Philip Earl Johnson, and Larry Yando, The Dance of Death will leave you gasping. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. Dance of Death is playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or Metra.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Everything I do surrounds these pieces of my life that often change. Or maybe I've changed. Sometimes seeming happy can be self-destructive, even when you're sane. Only insane, but don't bother waking me today. Here I am, I'm so young. I know I've been bitter, I've been jaded.
Seattle is a great destination for those of you looking for city life or rural retreat. With lots of diverse opportunities in the Pacific Northwest, I was just thrilled to talk with Sarah Toche, who is an award-winning journalist and member of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association, about all that Seattle has to offer the GLBT traveler. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Hey, I am doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I feel like we're having kind of Seattle weather here in Chicago. Is that a misconception that it's, if it's the sun's not shining and it's a bit misty, that's what Seattle has to offer?
You know, that's what we want you to believe. But to be honest, the last couple of days have been absolutely gorgeous. It's been in the low 80s, mid 70s, something like that, which is really a treat for us.
Wow.
But you
are living the high life. We are not living that here. I was just complaining earlier in the show that, like, I'm so tired of the gray. But is that one of the misconceptions about Seattle?
You know, honestly, the gray thing is true. I'm just going to lay it out there. I mean, it definitely is gray for much of the year, but when it's nice out, it's the most beautiful city you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, and I think too, it does rain, but it doesn't rain as much as it does in New York City. So you kind of have to pick and choose your battles there,
That's true.
Definitely a great place.
Well, cause you know, those of us in Chicago, people have misconceptions about Chicago. It's cold, it's snowy, and it is cold and it is snowy, but people here, we love our city. Now, are you from Seattle? Is that where you were born and raised?
I was born and raised in Connecticut, actually.
Wow, other part of the world.
Yeah, and lived in New York for about 4 years and did a stint in Indiana for a couple of years. So I kind of have it all well rounded out. But I have lived in Seattle my whole adult life. So mm-hmm. It really is my home. And I was just having this conversation the other day with some friends that I just can't imagine ever leaving Seattle. Because it's the first place I've ever really been that felt like home for me.
Wow. So what is it? What makes Seattle unique as a city?
You know, weather aside, it's actually a really fun town. It's like a small, let me put it this way. It's almost like it's a cross between a town and a city. A small city, a large town, whatever, big fish in the pond type of thing. Mm-hmm. There's different things to do depending on what you like. You can go outside and go skiing. You can go swimming. You can do a triathlon, do some half marathons. I've done 7 half marathons here in Seattle.
Wow.
So it's really, you know, no matter what you like to do, there's something to do. If you just want to sit inside, there's shows you can go see. I'm standing across from the Fifth Avenue Theater right now, and we love them at the Seattle Lesbian, but they have shows all year round. There's the Moore, there's the Paramount. So there's some big draws here.
Yeah.
And like not to mention too the marketplace. I mean, we've got Pike Place Market, which is so fun all year round.
So tell me about that. Tell me about the market. Because that's obviously one of the things that Seattle is known for.
Yeah, it definitely has a flashy sign, right?
Right.
But it's you know, it's a great little, I shouldn't say little. It's actually, the building itself is rather large. There's a lot of different levels to the building. So unless you know that, you think that what you see is what you get. And then once you get inside to the market, there's actually different floors. You can go in and check out all the unique shops. There's lots of kind of vintage things that you can look at. Way more than just the food and produce that, mm-hmm. you know, that you see in pictures. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the fish throwers that's always fun. There's the mini donuts. I mean, I've done so many interviews with people and I've asked them, what do you like most about Seattle? And they say the mini donuts. So it's really, personally, it's not my, I don't really eat that kind of thing at all. But I know a lot of people, it's the number one thing that they look forward to.
I would probably look forward to that. I mean, I know I was saying earlier that I've been to Vancouver, I've been to Oregon and obviously major city Portland, but I've never been mm-hmm. to Seattle. And I just know that when I go to that part of the Pacific Northwest, that the food is amazing because people in the Pacific Northwest grow really beautiful food. The climate is great for it. And at the same time, you have the ocean and there's such great seafood. Is Seattle known as a culinary town?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've got plenty of Tom Douglas restaurants out here. I don't know if you're familiar, but there's a restaurant that was called Rover's that has now, I think, closed its doors. But the chef in the hat that created that, he has opened a new place called Luke. Mm-hmm. And I just went there actually a few days ago with some friends, and it was fantastic. I mean,
wow.
It's just when you're sitting down and you get to experience food and you're not just inhaling food, that is a life.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. And when people come to Seattle, if just a general tourist, you know, if like you were showing it to your mom and dad or you had people from Europe who were coming, what do you think are like the three top things that people would do in Seattle? If we say like New York, people either go to the Empire State Building or Statue of Liberty mm-hmm. or, you know, a building like that. Where would people go mm-hmm. in Seattle?
Well, definitely, if we're going to go that route with the Empire State Building, you have to go see the Space Needle.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. You have to get up there. It, of course, it looks smaller than when you actually get there and you look up and you realize how tall it is. But you really should get up there. And you can stay as little or as long as you want. There's even a restaurant at the top, which is kind of neat. But, you know, besides that, there's the market, like we mentioned, Pike Place Market.
Yep.
And then I would even venture to say to get out of Seattle a little bit, out of the mainstream downtown, and maybe go over toward Fremont or Ballard and kind of walk around and see, you know, there's even in Magnolia, there's a park out there, Discovery Park, that is absolutely gorgeous in the summer. And it's funny because when I was a kid, I actually moved, or didn't move out here, sorry. I actually came out here with my sister, who's 4 years older than me. So we were 7 and 11 years old, and we'd always make a joke about 7-Eleven.
Uh-huh.
But at the time, we went and picked blueberries at, or blackberries, actually, not blueberries, at the Discovery Park. So as an adult going back now, it's very interesting. You make these memories that you never would have imagined you would have made at 7, you know, in a foreign place.
Wow. That's so cool. And now that you live there. So for gay city life, for the GLBT traveler, talk to me about it. I mean, what kind of community is there for the LGBT community? Is it integrated? And then if it's less integrated, where is the women's community kind of centered, and where is the men's community centered?
You know, one thing that drew me to this city at the very beginning when I moved here was the fact that you could walk down any street in Seattle and basically feel like you were comfortable to hold hands with your partner. Mm. Now that we have marriage here in this state, it's even more so. I mean, not to say that you don't have to sort of kind of feel out the neighborhood and see, you know, what you're comfortable with. Like anywhere, but it definitely is a very welcoming city. That said, there are some places that are kind of more gay-centric than others, and one of those places is Capitol Hill. That area is not the Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., it's Capitol Hill in Seattle.
Right.
It's the gay mecca of Seattle. And, you know, really just shops, walking around Broadway, which is where all of the shops are. And the Pride Parade used to go down Broadway. Now it's actually downtown because it's become so large that they had to move it downtown. But there are different bars and clubs that cater to different parts of the community. Mm-hmm. So there's a leather bar for, like, you know, a bear bar. There's a gay men's bars all over the place. But then there's one lesbian bar out of all of them, that's been there for years and years. I mean, I think they've been there at least 20-something years, 25 years, maybe 35. I have to look that up, actually. I don't know if I should say how long. Well, let's just say they've been there a really long time, probably about as long as I am old. anyway, so the thing about them is that it's a great area. It's called the Wild Rose. It's understated. It's kind of dark. It's small, but it's definitely the place that women go and congregate when they're coming out, when they want to meet their friends. You know, everyone should at least check it out and see. And the other thing is, if you don't want to go to a specific bar that caters to a label, you can go to many other areas around that are open to the whole LGBT and straight communities.
Mm-hmm.
And feel just as comfortable.
Hmm.
It's not, I mean, I feel like we've gotten better over the years. I feel like it used to be a lot more segregated. Now it's better.
Yeah. Do you feel that there's a lot socially for GLBT people to do in the city? I mean, obviously, as you said, the state has gay marriage, but are there great resources and groups and ways besides the bar scene for LGBT people to find one another? And where are some of those opportunities?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. There is the Social Outreach Seattle is actually a group that I am the vice president for in the city. And we were born out of the marriage equality movement. Basically, what we do is kind of just try to bring the community together for different rallies and speeches and events and talks and all of that. And that's one way to get involved. We also work with homeless youth. Another thing that is a great, great organization and a really great event is the Greater Seattle Business Association, or the GSBA. Mm-hmm. They have their Women on Top series, which is really fun for professional women to get to meet other professional women who happen to be gay.
Cool.
And, you know, they have other events all the time as well, but this is definitely a good group to get behind and check out. They also produce the gay guide, basically, that tells you where you should shop and play and everything. So travel, oh, cool. Everything.
Yeah.
There's also Equal Rights Washington, which they do a lot of good for the community as well. And they were really pushing marriage at the time. They teamed up with Washington United for Marriage and got, you know, marriage passed basically in our mm-hmm. state. Mm-hmm. So they're really worth supporting. There's just a lot of, we're activists out here. We're really proud of, you know, I don't know how else to, I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I can tell you as a whole, like our community is extremely activated and motivated and,
wow.
You know, it's a really welcoming city. So,
are there certain times of year you would encourage people to come, either, you know, because what they enjoy doing, whether it's food mm-hmm. or whether it's the outdoors, or if they want to do something where there's something going on LGBT? Can you give me some examples mm-hmm. of some times of year that are good to plan a trip to Seattle?
Well, I'm going to just throw a few things out there. There's the Pride Parade, which is the last Sunday in June.
Yep.
And that weekend, we have a bunch of stuff going on, like many large cities do. We actually, at the Seattle Lesbian, have our own stage at 4th and Denny that we announce a parade. So
cool.
I like to let people know, like, if you're in the area, come on up that weekend, because it's just a great, fun time. It's free, kid-friendly. Another thing that is pretty big is in the summer, there's something called Sea Fair, which is really fun. And it's basically an air water show throughout, you know, a length of time where there's different shows depending on what you're interested in watching. You can just watch the Blue Angels perform, or you can go watch some boat races. And so that's a lot of fun. There's also, I mean, food-wise, you can come anytime and find some really good food. This yeah. weekend, there's actually a food truck rodeo, which is going to be a lot of fun. And it's just a bunch of food trucks get together in a parking lot, and you just, like, walk through and just eat your heart out, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It's just really quite fun, and they're really good. A lot of food trucks out here have actually gone on to open up restaurants, and
yeah.
That's pretty popular here. So,
yeah.
But then, like, as far... Sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm so excited.
No, go ahead.
As far as the travel, though, really any time of the year is fine to come out here. We don't get extremely hot or extremely cold weather. But if you want to see the city in all its glory and sun, you should come probably between, you know, beginning of May to about end of January.
Mm-hmm. And in the wintertime, is your city known as an outdoor winter sports town, or and the surrounding area, the state of Washington, with all the mountains?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can go up north to Whistler, BC, and go on the gondola there, and that's all beautiful, and there's Blackcomb and everything. But if you want to stay in Washington State, we do have a lot of different areas where you can go skiing and snowboarding and all of that within about an hour away from wherever you are.
Yeah.
So it's really, yeah, it's really it's a great, great place. I mean, and then the summer you can go swimming if you want to go swimming in any of the lakes that we have. So,
yeah. I mean, I love the Pacific Northwest, and Seattle is definitely a hole that I have not filled. I have not gone to Seattle, and so I'm a little selfishly, you know, gathering information and you know, a little bit, mixing a little business with pleasure in our conversation. You are the founder and editor-in-chief of Seattle's only lesbian-fronted magazine. It's called The Seattle Lesbian. In the first year alone, The Seattle Lesbian reached a threshold of 1 million readers on a global scale. Talk to me about Seattle Lesbian and what its goals are and what it's about.
Well, the Seattle Lesbian was born out of a need to fill a gap in the community, basically. You know, I am a writer, a journalist, and I'd written a lot for national publications and realized that we kind of didn't have anything out here when I moved here, except for a couple of magazines that were more centered toward gay men and not necessarily women, which is totally okay. I'm okay with that. But I also wanted to make sure that we had something for the ladies. So mm-hmm. we created something called the Seattle Lesbian, and at first it got a lot of airplay because of the name lesbian. I mean, a lot of people don't like to use that word, which, to be quite honest with you, is why we did it. They're like, okay, let's talk about the word. But you know what we do is we cover political events and topics and news and entertainment. Anything that's happening in the city, you can let us know. We can send someone out if we have the capacity. We're a small team, but we definitely, we're 4 years strong now and got some good alliances in the city, and we're doing really, really well. We're all advertiser run. Mm-hmm. So we do ask for support from anyone, businesses that are interested in, you know, networking with our community are welcome to contact us.
And how do people read
it? It's all online.
Okay.
And that is done purposefully because we wanted to make sure that it would be available and not just a flash in the pan, that we could keep it going.
Yep.
So we definitely wanted to get that going. So what we do is it's free. You can just sign on to theseattlelesbian.com, and we update daily. Everything is new and fresh, and, you know, we don't borrow stories. We actually sit and write the stories, and we do the investigation. it's definitely what I've heard anyway is that we needed something like this, something that was substantial news for the lesbian community.
Well, I am so glad you all are providing that. That is just amazing and so great that we can read about it, even if we don't live in Seattle, especially if we're going to be visiting there. So,
yeah,
that's great.
Definitely.
And you mentioned another great resource for travel to Seattle. Do they have a website as well?
Is it the GSBA?
Yes.
They do. I believe it's, now you're putting me on the spot. Let's see. I can't remember if it's .org or .com, but it is. You can, if you Google this, the Greater Seattle Business Association or GSBA.org, I believe it is. They're going to kill me if I'm wrong. But
We'll link it in our show notes.
Okay, great. Good.
They aren't going to kill you. You're giving them a plug. They won't kill you.
They are really invaluable. The people that run that show are awesome. They were great to us at the beginning. They're definitely, we're all a major part of this community and play together really well. So
yeah, well, I really hope good. That if you're listening, that you want to go to Seattle and dip into everything that is just really fertile and exciting about that city. The one thing we didn't mention was the music scene. And is the music scene still, you know, I mean, the thing that put Seattle on the map in my lifetime was obviously the 90s music scene, the early 90s mm-hmm. music scene. You mentioned theater, but is the cultural scene and the music scene still vibrant in Seattle?
Oh, yes, huge. We actually do have a lot of music venues out here. We have a lot of great acts that start here and go off to become, you know, big name stars. We've got if you throw a stone, you'll hit it. It's amazing how much talent there is out here. And it's very affordable for all types of people. You don't have to, you know, spend money to go see a concert that you can't afford. You can, unless like Lady Gaga's in town.
Right.
but when it comes to the nitty gritty kind of fun, you know, music that you want to see coming up, there's some really great venues. One of them is the Triple Door. I think that's a really fun venue. And lots of people have come through there, including Vicky Martinez from The Voice. Mm-hmm. And she sang a song on Hannah Free, which is a great movie everyone should see. and then there's also Brandi Carlile.
Who we love.
You know, acts that are from here that have gone on to become big things.
Wow. Well, it's amazing. I mean, it has everything. We know if you live in Chicago that misconceptions kind of do make our city a great secret for people who don't come here. But I agree with Sarah that when you know you have a great secret, you're really proud of it too, but you know that if people come when the weather's good and they see all the city has to offer, it's really exciting. And what I love and what is enticing to me about Seattle and makes me know is on my short list of get to very quickly, is the diversity, not only of people and how comfortable I can be there being whomever I am, but also, great restaurants, great bars, an LGBT community that's activated and motivated, outdoors, any time of year, warm weather or cold weather, and people, I just know the people that I've met from Seattle or who are from Seattle are really cool people, that I enjoy talking to. And that is usually the lifeblood of a city, is its people. If you might travel to Seattle and want more information, we will have the Greater Seattle Business Association linked in our show notes. Plus, read up on the Seattle Lesbian. Get some information from lesbians doing the real hard-hitting news and entertainment stories from that city. And we'll have that linked in our notes as well. Sarah, thank you so much for being on with us. And we should do like one of those swaps, like where I stay in your place and you stay in my place and we can enjoy each other's city.
I would love that. And then I'll interview you from your place.
I would love that. Anytime you want to do it. I got 19 years of Chicago experience to give you. And I, every day, I'm grateful I live here. And I love hearing that in your voice, too. So
that's awesome. Well, come out here and visit, and I'll show you around.
I would love it. We'll plan that. And I hope you're going to plan too, everyone. Thank you so much, Sarah Toche. And check out the Seattle Lesbian website, theseattlelesbian.com.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everyone, I hope you have a great week. I hope things warm up. I hope I see you at Cicada. And I hope maybe you will consider Seattle for your next GLBT travel destination. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.